Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And I ask, Lord, that you would just block out any distraction that exists right now. Give us focus on the words that you have for this church body, those listening online as well. Holy Spirit, speak through me that your word would be glorified, Jesus, the living word. And it would pierce to the heart. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. All right. John 8, verse 12 says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The title of this is The Light That Shines in the Darkness. And as I think of the times in which we live, it's a dark time, is it not? I think, yeah, as the Lord would say, it'd be as the days of Lot, the days of Noah. I actually met with someone this past week, a friend, I would say now at this point, who's searching for the truth. And we met, and he's trying to understand things. He said, how crazy things have gotten in this world. And he said, don't you think so? I said, absolutely. I said, but my view is a biblical worldview. And I said, these are all the things that are lining up biblically as the Word of God says it would. And the worst part is that evil today is being normalized. We know what Jesus said in Matthew 24, take heed that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Paul said all these negative attitudes that would encompass in 2 Timothy chapter 3 would be present and growing and getting more prevalent as the day approaches. Earthquakes and extreme weather patterns, plagues of locusts and viral infections are the norm of today's news. Wars and rumors of wars around the globe. There are famines and extreme droughts affecting the world food supply. Lawlessness is increasing at a frightening rate, and Christians more and more, I said this last week, we've been incubated here in the United States, but more and more Christians are being labeled as the problem. Jesus said, you'll be hated for my name's sake. That's a very present reality that we need to face and come to grips with in our own hearts as we prepare, because, folks, the beast system's being created before our very eyes. The foundation has been laid over years, but now it's not the foundation anymore. It's the building of the structure itself that is now happening. I told you the introduction of CBDCs will impose the financial mechanism to enforce the will of those in charge. I was just reading an article today that in Nigeria, they are limiting cash withdrawals to $45 per day. You could take out more, but you have to be on the central bank digital coin to do so. Folks, you got to understand, here, there, it's all trials, and they're setting things up to flip the switch. And yes, you will have to participate. You won't be able to say, I won't participate, right? But as Jim and I were talking earlier this week, someone said, well, I just won't participate. I'll do something else. But what they're doing is they're trying to funnel people in. And then once that happens, then a leader can come to rise and then just impose his entire will. But 2,000 years ago, people were looking for Messiah. And I pondered on how they must have felt at that time. Were they feeling weary? Were they feeling weak? Were they feeling fatigued? Were they feeling helpless? Were they feeling hopeless? When Christ was born, Israel was under Roman rule at the time. Rome had its god of war called Mars, but with the reign of Augustus Caesar, there was the longest and bloodiest civil war in Rome's history. It finally ended, and over 100 years of civil war had been brought to rest, and Rome had now expanded her boundaries. Augustus was the first Roman emperor to wear the imperial purple and crown as the sole ruler of the empire. He was wise and considerate of his people, and he brought in a great time of peace and prosperity, making Rome a safe place to travel. It was a time known as Pax Romana. We can call it a time of peace and security, huh? As a result of all that Augustus accomplished, many said that when he was born, he was a god that was born. So here was this Roman Empire, this vast empire of iron in Daniel's dream of the statue. Thus, into these conditions was born the one, the true Messiah, who was and is the source of true personal peace, lasting world peace when he sets his rule and his reign, versus the temporary and false peace that man and even the very best of man can give. I was thinking about World War II when Chamberlain came back and he had his piece of paper that he had waved after coming to terms with Adolf Hitler and just said, hey, this piece of paper will ensure peace in Europe. And right after that, I think he invaded Poland. That rule of peace brought by Caesar Augustus helped prepare the world, though, for Messiah's life and ministry. Mark 1, 14 to 15 says, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The time is at hand. Prior to this, in the book of Malachi, for 400 years was silence. God had spoken through the prophets, and suddenly, 400 years of silence. The spiritual condition of Israel, the religious climate into which Christ was born. Gentiles, as were the Romans, were polytheists, worshiping many gods. Isn't that like today? Man has so many religions, we're even now the green religion. So I heard one pastor call it, it's the worship of the green dragon. This whole climate and agenda and save the world and worship Mother Earth, that's all tied to mystery religion Babylon, folks. Worshipping the creation rather than the creator is what Romans 1 talks about. The Greeks worship many gods along with philosophy. But what about the Jews? Christ's own people. John 1, 11 says, he came unto his own and they received him not. Was he not their Messiah? Those days were times of messianic hope. They wanted to be freed, but they were expecting a Messiah to come to free them from Rome's rule. They didn't want to acknowledge the vague of the sufferings of Messiah found in Isaiah 53 that had been told all along. Their law taught them clearly the nature of sin and man's sinfulness. Yet it seemed like they were ignorant of their sin and God's absolute holiness. They felt like, I just need to be delivered from Rome and I'll get things right. How much of that is today? If I do this, this, and this, I'll be all right. The law, they taught just, to, hey, you know what? Just be a good person. live your life. Very much like today, right? The New Age belief. God is love, so just be a good person. That's your ticket. The answer is no. We're all sinners. And Israel was really spiritually bankrupt at this time. very much like America today. Materialism, good deeds, rituals, a form of godliness, but it denies the power thereof. And they had not heard the voice of God for 400 years. The birth of Jesus means so much more to this world than just Christmas. The birth of God revealed in flesh. It's the access to joy unspeakable and full of glory, an inner stability and peace. But only to those who seek to know him and apply what that meaning of why he came to this earth to redeem a lost man. To know salvation to which only Jesus Christ offers. Luke 2 says that it came to pass in those days that a decree went out for Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. And so all went out to be registered, everyone to his own city. The registry was for taxation. That's what it was for. A census. Register your name. You realize there's going to be a registry coming. And it won't be a paper one. It'll be a mark. This purpose of the census was really man's pride to see how many people were in his rule. Joseph went up to Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. The cool thing about Bethlehem was it used to mean house of war, and it was changed into house of bread, to which the bread of life came. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. No longer would we be at war with God, but we'd have access to be reconciled back to him. This is not by design. This is not by error or by chance. Jews were expecting a king who would go to war and remove Roman rule. They wanted a warrior. And mankind, because of sin, were enemies of God and at war with God. And Jesus came to end that war. And through his body being broken, the bread of life, and through him, reconciliation would happen. And so it was while they were, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The Laodicean church, there's no room for Christ to enter in. He's on the outside. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. They were sitting in a dark night, and the only light was most likely their fire. And suddenly darkness was expelled with the angel of the Lord appearing. And the shepherd sitting in darkness is like humanity today that is lost. They're sitting in the darkness of sin, in the shadow of death. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were greatly afraid. Because that's what the glory of God does. His perfect holiness. I'm undone. That's what Isaiah said. It's what John said, the revelator. It's a reverential fear. But God always puts his hand and says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. That's what the angel says to him. Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. All who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Tidings, good news, tidings of the kingdom of God and of salvation to be obtained. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You see, in Galatians 4, it says, but when the fullness of time had come, at the appointed time, God came to earth. At the appointed time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Hallelujah! Yeah. Only a perfect man could fulfill the law of God, which no man could keep until Christ came to the world. That's why he came as a man, born of a virgin. The original seed couldn't be passed on. It was the Holy Spirit that overcame Mary. Hallelujah. The appointed time, when the fullness of time had come, full circle from the garden, God had dwelled and walked with us. Sin separated us and brought us the curse of death. We were banished from the garden and the tree of life. The law was given to show us our imperfections and lack of ability to meet God's standards, his righteousness. But God, who is rich in love and mercy, sent his only son, Jesus, to die for us. Hallelujah. He would live a perfect, sinless life. And he would only live for 33 years and dwell among men to be brutally murdered for payment of our sins. He then, through the power of the Holy Spirit, was resurrected. Through him, we can obtain his righteousness. When we repent and put our belief and faith and trust in Christ, the Holy Spirit then resides in us, leading us to live a life, sharing Jesus, the light of the world, to others as we carry him inside us, delivering him who resides in you and I to a lost and dying world. That's the vessel he chose. He chose the church to do that. And if you won't, the rocks will cry out. We live a life that should be holy, counting the cost, right? Dying to self. That way, one day, we can stand before him, and he can say the words, "Well done, thy true and faithful servant." Listen, folks. We are living again at an appointed time. We are in a season for seizing. We are not children of darkness. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1-5 says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need I should write you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, you, beloved, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. The world is in darkness. We are not. John 8:12, Jesus spoke to him and said, what? I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. It says we won't walk in the darkness, but we have the light of life. Yes, darkness is all around us, but we can push it back. We won't be consumed by the darkness. His word, which is alive, will be the lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We will not walk in darkness. Are you awake? Are you awake? Are you spiritually awake? Are you alive? Because I think a part of the church has forgotten who God is. He is the one who turns the weak strong. He is the creator of all things. He does not need your strength. He wants you to be humble. He wants you to be surrendered. And he wants you to let him take control. He wants us to be a vessel to which for the power of God to speak through you and I at this time. Because he has all power and authority, and we need to walk in the power of God. You may feel like you have no strength. You may feel like you're at the end of your road. You're not dead. Lazarus was dead. And guess what? The power of God raised him from the grave. You, like Noah, made a choice. You got in the ark, and that ark is Jesus Christ, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the high calling in Christ Jesus. The same spirit that rose Christ from the grave resides in you and I. Now is the time to let the Holy Spirit take control. Now is the time, the appointed time, because we're living in perilous times. There's difficult days that are here, and they're going to get worse, folks. There's difficult days ahead, and it's a time when men's courage will fail them. We need courage not of us for the days ahead. We are coming to the end, folks, and we need the power of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. And he will give you a song that will not be extinguished. We need to be bold, just as Peter preached, this is that. This is that which the prophets foretold. The power of God will lay upon those, his remnant church. It shall come to pass that whoever, listen, pour out my spirit on flesh. You sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall see dreams. Dream dreams. I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. There's going to be wonders in the heavens. And the purpose of that is to point all those to come to Christ. It started 2,000 years ago, folks, and it's coming to a head. It's coming to a head. The presence and the power of the Holy Spirit leads us to confidence and courage, even in the face of opposition. Joshua was told to be strong and courageous. And so the Spirit is saying to us at this time to be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Trust in him, right? Right, Kate? If it's not now, when? If it's not now, when? When the Holy Spirit came down on the 120 in the upper room, they went out boldly preaching. Listen. They created intrigue and interest to some, and others mocked at them. Scoffers is very much a reality of today. God's word said it would be. But the Holy Spirit and the power of God's word go together. The Spirit of truth breathes out the word of truth out of you, because it's buried inside here. That's why you have to study to show yourself approved. A right man needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Right? The word of truth. Be open to being used for his glory. Be open. You don't have to walk in darkness. You have the light of Christ inside you. Let it shine. Point to Christ. Use your opportunities to explain the gospel. And that is evidence that the Holy Spirit is at work inside you, bearing fruit, along with gentleness, kindness, love, self-control. Because we're seeing a separation of wheat and tares in the church. You remember the 10 virgins, right? 5 of them said, give us of your oil. And the other 5 said, you can't have my oil. I won't have enough. But you go and purchase. You go and get your own. The remnant trims the wicks. And they are relying on the Holy Spirit to keep their oil filled. Right? Isaiah 40, 28 through 31 says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he neither faints nor is weary. Hallelujah. His understanding is unsearchable. And he gives power to the weak. Hallelujah. And those who have no might, he increases strength. How does he do that? Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit. Even the youth shall what? Faint and be weary. and even the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord, wait. Those who trust in the Lord, that's also interpretation of waiting, is trusting. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. If you're weary, you're going to get renewed. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. So we keep our oil filled and we keep our wicks trimmed, saying, behold, the bridegroom comes. The light of the world is coming to smash darkness once and for all. Hallelujah. When others are not being diligent, you be diligent. You prepare the way. You help prepare the way. Do not look left. Do not look right. We are in a time where good is called evil and evil is called good. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Just as Israel was in darkness, the world is getting darker, and darkness and lawlessness continues to spread. Just as it was quiet for 400 years since the last prophet spoke in Malachi, so we see the Laodicean spirit creep into the church today. Just as Paul foretold the falling away, the world goes through its routine. Even though there are watchmen warning of the coming of the Lord Jesus, many have their own expectations of whom the Savior of the world should be. The spiritual reality and parallel of that day and today is amazing. The world slumbers. Just as the 10 virgins were waiting, 5 were diligent, 5 were not. The majority of the world has the expectation that man and government have all the solutions and answers. They will look to one, just as Israel shouted, "Give us a king." He's not the king. The true king, the true Messiah, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, came 2,000 years ago. He came 2,000 years ago to save a lost and dying world. And guess what? He's coming again. Amen. He's coming as a thief to catch away his bride, because the bride is looking for the blessed hope. The world will be taken by surprise as they are caught up even now in great delusion and deception. When the appointed time comes, he will come in the clouds and the trump of God will sound. In the moment of a twinkling of an eye, we will all be changed, just as the world changed 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. No more ailments, no more colds. See, Christ came into the world and he turned the world upside down. As he served and saved us to reconcile him back to God. This time he's coming to take his betrothed away. And the world will be turned upside down again. Because the time of grace will be no more. Which means God's wrath and judgment will be poured out. As Jesus brings about his eternal kingdom, just as the prophet Isaiah had declared thousands of years ago, just as there were signs of his first coming, the majority of the population missed him. And so it is right now. The signs are everywhere. They're everywhere. That point to his second coming. We live on the edge of eternity. All those who have gone before us are there, who have put their faith and trust in the Lord, and they are cheering you on. The Lord is coming. And those left behind will face the horrors of God's wrath. We live on the edge of eternity to start our forever adventure. It's time to be focused, church. It's a choice to follow him. It's a choice to let your light shine, to expel the darkness. You understand? I think of how Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day. Do you want to put your light under the bushel or do you want to set it up on high?" For all the light to see. the shepherds, after they saw the good news and they saw the story, they went out and they proclaimed with eager anticipation what they saw. The Lord has done mighty things in you. You're a miracle because you put your faith and trust in Him. And you could be a part of that family too. That is the real meaning of Christmas, folks. Christ laid down His glory to become a baby. He stepped down from glory. He grew up, lived a perfect sinless life, and He gave Himself as a ransom for us. He was buried, and on the third day He rose again from the grave, and He ascended to the Father, and guess what? He's coming again. The hope of His second coming to restore that which was once created years ago in the garden. For God to tabernacle with His people again. Cling to that blessed hope. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You in the mighty name of Jesus. Your word is so good, Lord. And we trust in You, Lord, that even as darkness spreads, that we can let our light shine. And You will give us the strength when we're feeling weak. And when we're growing weary, Lord, You'll renew that strength. Give us opportunities this week, Lord. There's the holidays are coming, this time, Lord, that we get to celebrate the true meaning of Christmas. Let us share that truth with our family and loved ones who don't know You, that they may be partakers in that kingdom that we've been adopted into. In Jesus' name we pray. The church said, Amen. You're dismissed.